Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero folks, and Rich Cooper from Cooper's Corner and State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits. Longtime listeners of the show know that I'm regularly in the wine bunker deep below State Street Fruit Store, but believe it or not, they have things other than wine at State Street, and they have a whole other store, Cooper's Corner, and Cooper is the name that Rich That's Cooper right. has, and
it was not a coincidence.
It was a barrel making factory at first. Is that right?
I've been a barrel maker for a while. I make staves in my basement.
Uh huh. Because that's what Cooper really means. You were never really a barrel making family, to your knowledge.
To my knowledge, that's correct. Right.
Somewhere way back there, right.
We are
you probably
English
were.
Going way back. So
yeah, always makes me wonder what John Hancock's parents did. But Cooper's Corner was started by your dad?
That's true. The longer story is that when he was in junior high and high school in the late 20s, early 30s, he was working for Bridgman's Dairy, which was in Florence on North Maple Street. And at that time, there were dairies all over the place. There were a dairy being a place where they would pick up milk from farms or farms would drop it off. They would process it, bottle it, and they would deliver it to their neighborhood, essentially.
Uh-huh. There's so many dairies, you couldn't help but smell the dairy air.
That's true, right. That's two words.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was working for Bridgman's Dairy, and Mr. Bridgman wanted to retire. And so when my father was 18, he took out a loan from Smith Charities right here in Northampton and was able to buy that dairy. And then other small dairies, Brookside Dairy, Dostal Dairy, other dairies in Northampton had the same sort of situation. It was a one-man operation, pretty much, wanted to retire. My father saw, you know, economies of scale, started taking over these other little dairies,
uh-huh.
and then consolidated at the Florence location where they processed milk. At one point, he had, I think he said, 28 route trucks going out delivering to homes and restaurants and institutions.
The milkman.
He was a milkman.
And we're talking...
What year is that?
Yeah. So my father turned 18 in 1936. So from 36 until the early 60s, he ran a dairy.
And what was it called, Cooper's Corner back then?
It was called Cooper's Dairy.
Uh-huh.
At the same location.
Which is downtown Florence, for people that don't know.
And so my recollection, I had two older brothers, and all of us worked in the dairy as, you know, from our youngest age. You know, as we were in elementary school, we would put bottles into the bottle washer. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we were boxing eggs or throwing eggs quite a bit between three brothers, which... We would go out on route trucks. You know, we thought it was a real treat on school vacations to be able to go out on the route truck with one of our favorite drivers, you know, and do home deliveries.
Right.
Or go out with the Mr. Dragon, who was our main tank truck driver.
Wow. You know,
and he would go out and pick up milk at the farms. And
it all sounds very Mayberry to me. I love it.
But it was kind of a hard life in the fact that my father would get up at 2:30 in the morning. He would sometimes come home and take a nap right after lunchtime, but then wouldn't get home until 4 or 5 o'clock at night
uh-huh.
because he was doing the bookwork and things.
And he needed
don't let
to
my get- wife hear that schedule and say that it was a tough life. So when did Cooper's Dairy make the transition into what we now know as Cooper's Corner, which is a grocery and, you know, beer, wine sales?
So in the 50s, as my father described it, was that cars became more prevalent, and he would have home delivery customers stopping by the dairy, stopping by the office and saying, you know, I'm driving by, you know, I'll pick up my quart of milk now. Boy, it'd be nice if you had bread here.
Right.
You know, and so he would take a little bit of the office and put in some bread. And then, how about canned soup? You know, how about cereal? How about dog food? You know, and it just kept expanding and expanding. Uh-huh. And then eventually in the late 50s, he said, you know, I think this is a little easier. I think running a grocery store than being responsible for all these drivers and having to get up, you know, that time in the day. And so he sold the dairy part to All Star Dairy Foods in South Hadley, and then we built what was called Cooper's Dairyland. I think then the state of Wisconsin took over the name Dairyland. It was probably in the late 60s or early 70s that we kind of changed the name to Cooper's Corner, just because people kept referring to it as, you know, I'm going down to the corner.
Right. You know, then you are on a corner.
We are on a corner. And when you say Dairyland, people were wondering if we were, you know, selling soft serve ice cream.
Right. Or if you're a theme park that has cows.
There you go. Right.
Rich Cooper from Cooper's Corner and State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits in Northampton. When did State Street become part of your family?
We bought the State Street Fruit Store from the Composio brothers in 1974. I think it was still the same mentality of gathering up these small dairies and consolidating into one, and that, you know, there were economies of scale that
right.
said, well, I can buy groceries for two stores through one store. It increases my buying power, and then I can just, you know, divide it up between the two stores.
Mm-hmm.
And is that been helpful in any way when we jump to the present time period?
Absolutely. State Street sells a lot more produce, for example, than Cooper's does. So if there's something like eggplant, which is a local item, you know, we couldn't sell a whole case of eggplant at Cooper's.
Right.
But we could buy a couple at State Street and, you know, send up half a case to Cooper's.
Uh-huh.
Or the same thing with these, you know, the local salsas, local salad dressing, something, you know, somebody approaches us, I have this new item, are you interested in carrying it? I don't really split cases, you know, it's a case of 12 ginger miso salad dressing. Say, sure, we'll take it. We'll put six at each store.
Right.
See where it sells. And it just expands like that. And I guess it's kind of in my DNA is that we've always tried to support the small local people as people had supported us.
Yeah.
You know, you want local people to shop with you, then you should be shopping with local people.
Right.
You know, I mean, that goes for me personally where, you know, I'll do my Christmas shopping in downtown Northampton and not go to the mall.
Right.
And I'll buy as much local produce as I can when it's available rather than having it trucked in from California or Spain. We have all sorts of local products at the store, but I brought in some wine because I understood that you occasionally taste a little bit of wine.
I do.
Right?
Sometimes right down the hall That's from right. your office.
So there are several good local wineries. As you know, there's Black Birch or Eddie Hamill and Mary out in Southampton. What I have today is Mount Warner from Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wonderful about that winery is all of their wines are made from their own grapes.
Yeah.
So how is the palate of people who live in Florence changing?
It's not just milk anymore.
That's true. It used to be, you know, back in the 80s or 90s, people would ask me, wow, you have two stores, you're only 2 miles apart. Aren't they competing with each other? And at that point, you know, it was easy to describe. I said, well, you know, the people who are going to Cooper's, they're picking up their American cheese and their Budweiser, and people going to State Street are getting, you know, their Brie and their Chardonnay.
Uh-huh.
And that's really been changing a lot over uh-huh. the past 10 years or so. Part of it, I think, is that the customer's palate is becoming more sophisticated. But also a big part is that people want to know where their food is coming from. They don't want the processed foods. They want to know, you know, it used to be they wanted to know where, you know, what state it came from, then what farm. Now they want to know the name of the cow.
Bessie.
That's right. Some people have said, no, you should have it. Why don't you have a section? Where's your local section is what people ask me.
Right.
Where's your local foods? And so I end up, you know, walking them down every aisle of the store. Well, here, over here, some more, oh, down here, up there, there's some. Because I want the person who's coming in to pick up a salad dressing to be looking at the Wishbone or the Brianna's or the Kraft and say, oh, look at that, Appalachian Natural. I see that local hero sticker. You know, I'm gonna try that. Or someone who's going in for the Newman salsa is gonna say, oh, there's a salsa that's made locally. Look at that Greenfield. I'll try that one.
That's what we do with our local music. We don't ghettoize it into one like late night show.
Yeah.
We right. do it all throughout the whole course of the day. Yeah, I like that philosophy.
You expand people's their repertoire. They know that local isn't just a segment. Local is real food.
Bring it in home in the new year.
That's right. Rich Cooper from Cooper's Corner and State Street Fruit Store in Florence and Northampton, respectively, and Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero folks. BuyLocalFood.org.